Hey, it's Dina Blizzard, and you're watching One Funny Morning.
Welcome to One Funny Morning Show.
From Monday to Friday.
And sometimes on Saturday.
Why would you say that in front of all these people?
You never know what's going to happen.
Carmen.
Cortez.
Good morning, everybody.
What's outside your weather door?
Good morning.
Uppy, uppy.
Uppy, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kathy from Orange County, coming to you live from my lemon tree that I wish I could send some to Dina to help her with her kidney stones. Speaking of Dina, here she is with Uppy Uppy Uppy, One Funny Morning. Cheers!
Good morning, good morning. Oh, Kathy, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're a little ridiculous with your giant vase, although it was an impressive vase, so thank you for doing it. Mm-hmm. Good morning, good morning. We're kind of on time. It is Friday for anybody that was wondering. I checked before we went live. Hopefully everybody, good morning from the in-laws a month and a half later. Oh, good luck to you. I hope you get to leave soon. Happy Friday, Molinay. It is a great day. Hopefully everybody has some nice plans for the weekend. I don't even remember what I did yesterday. Finally caught you live. Good morning, Samantha. Hey, Joyce. Hey, Alice. If you have been following, you know that Michelle Mooney, our sexy producer, Michelle, has been doing a great job with all of our guests in the last few weeks. We've had some amazing fellas on, and I'm super excited. Candace, you might want to pretend you're not working today because we have a great show. Only half awake due to all the storms last night. It's been quiet here. Right on time, Katie. So hopefully everybody's got some fun things to do. If you are still looking for some fun things to do this weekend and you're in the Philadelphia local area, you're going to want to go to Helium Comedy Club because one of our favorites is performing there and she is in the studio / dining room with us this morning. So let me introduce her to you. Today we invite Beth Stelling to the kitchen. She's a stand-up comedian, writer, and actress based in Los Angeles. Her new Netflix special, If You Didn't Want Me Then, topped every Best of 2023 list. Her half-hour special is also on Netflix in the first season of The Stand-Ups. Conan O'Brien produced Beth's previous hour special for HBO Max called Girl Daddy. Beth has been a writer for the following television series, Rick and Morty, Strange Planet, The Last OG, I Love America with Sarah Silverman, Another Period, and Crashing on HBO. She's a sought-after punch-up writer for feature films following her success as an on-set writer for the Universal hit Good Boys. She's starred on Amazon's Red Oaks, Corporate on Comedy Central, and she's played Miss Fish on the Peacock comedy Rutherford Falls. Please help me welcome to the show, Beth Stelling!
Thank you for having me.
Hi. Look at you. I can't believe you're in the kitchen with us. Everybody's super excited.
I'm awake.
Can't believe. How many kitchens have you played in your
career? I'd love to say this is the first, but as a stand-up comic, you end up saying yes to a lot of wild things.
True.
And I have performed in a man's kitchen.
Have you?
Yeah. But this might be my first woman's kitchen.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I remember I did.
Sorry you had to read such a long bio. You could have cut that down.
No. It's big. It's you're a very successful person.
That was maybe everything I've ever done.
That's awesome. No, it's not. Because you know what wasn't on there, which what? I can't wait to talk about, was your 2003 Ohio Speech and Debate Association Championship in the Humorous Interpretation category.
I'd love to talk about
it. It's on Wikipedia. I believe that's how you got started, and I can't wait to hear more about it. But Beth is going to be at Helium. She started there last night, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. You don't want to miss her. We started talking about you earlier in the week and said, for everybody to check out the special. It is so funny. And so I think I saw, because you came through Philly. The last time you came through Philly, I actually went to see you.
Thank you for doing
that. It was awesome. I think the tickets were free. But I was
you
there supporting.
Dog.
But you have the funniest bits about your dad, which I also want to talk about, because I think the whole raccoon thing might be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That was a very fun experience to live. I only visited intermittently because he lives in Orlando, mm-hmm. you know, pursuing his acting career. Mm-hmm. And I would go and, you know, pop in. So the numbers would just climb each year, each new visit. And I particularly remember, because it's tough.
Raccoons.
Yes, my dad feeds raccoons, or he did. If you watch the special, no, spoiler alert, they've been transported to a field with a retention pond. So popping in, the numbers would increase over the years. And I'm kind of bad at remembering, like, meaning the years and how much it crept over time. Like, he's the one who I thought I was telling the story for a while on stage. Mm-hmm. And
did it just get more and more elaborate before he shipped them away? Like, were you talking about it then? Before?
Well, I was talking about it for years because it was going on for years. And then it was on an old album, which I don't even think you can find anymore. Just because, like, that's a whole nother story. As a stand-up, you're like, I should put this out into the world. It's like, keep things that to yourself. No one needs to see your first album. It's terrible. Anyway, but I had that story on there. And so this was sort of like the final chapter. Because when I started working on it again and deciding I was going to put it in this last hour on Netflix, I talked to him about it, of course. And he was like, it was 91. So that's when I got the realization
91?
That 91 was the highest that the amount of raccoons got to in his backyard. Wow. But I do remember a visit probably in college I can't remember, where a black bear did come. There was and I had a photo of it. So we can pinpoint the era because it was on a Nokia phone, just like a block, like one of the bricks.
Wow.
So I took a photo on the Nokia phone. I mean, that's how we used to communicate.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, and even before then, it was letters. I actually had a pen pal that I made come to my show last week in D.C. His name's Peterson.
How long has it been your pen pal?
We met in 2002 or something.
Were you in grammar school or high school?
High school. And yeah, we were pen pals for a bit. He was my first Canadian pen pal. Aww. And then, now he lives in D.C. He's a dentist.
How many pen pals did you have?
I don't want to exaggerate. Let's say in the around 4 or 5.
Really?
Yeah, it could be more, and I forget.
Wow.
I've got letters.
How did
boxes.
You find them? Like, all through, like, school, they were like, here's
first
a new
one,
friend.
First pen pal may have come in 5th grade, and our teacher, Mrs. Murphy, had taken a trip, I believe it was to China, and then had visited a school and got all those kids'
Force
addresses.
Them.
Or
Force
not
them.
Addresses, I guess, yeah. The school's address, and said, hey, teacher, you want to switch letters?
Huh.
That was my first introduction.
You said
to
high
pen
school in 2002. She's a baby.
Well, yeah. Yeah, part of me is starting to question that. But no, that's right.
That's nice.
Because I started stand-up in 07.
So you were just out of high school? How old were you?
I was 21.
Yeah.
And it was in a bar. I kind of crashed an open mic, like a music open mic.
Okay.
So I was the only comedy act on it.
All right.
I mean, crashed is a relative term. I think that means it's now cooler than it is. I say crashed because it was like I didn't have a guitar.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to do bits.
Well, that's how old Jacqueline is. I keep telling her. I said, if you start doing stand-up at 21, you'll be awesome. I didn't start until I was 30. I was like old. I was an old lady.
I mean, that's not old. I remember being 18 on a cruise and making friends with a 30-year-old and thinking I was so cool that I had an older
friend. Yeah, because she was old. Yeah, exactly. I had 2 kids and I was 30. So let's go back. So it's 2000.
I do love it. This Rachel's like, who is it? No. I do love it when people say that because I'm just sort of like.
This is my cousin.
Even if it's on like Conan, people will be like, who is this? It's like, I don't know. Freaking read a caption or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's or there. Just wait a second. My name's Beth.
Her name's Beth. And it's early.
Yeah.
And we've been up for a bit. So you grew up, somebody said, where did you grow up? So you grew up in Dayton.
Ohio is where I grew up, Southwest Ohio.
Which I don't want to brag, but I'm heading there in a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
For ask me why, because who is the most famous, let me see if you know this since you're from Dayton, who is the most famous humorist from Dayton?
Lisa Cartwright?
Nope.
Oh.
I think she was born there or went to school there.
Hmm.
1950s?
I meant to say Nancy Cartwright, by the way. Humorous?
Yeah. Irma Bombeck.
Oh, yeah, duh. Sorry.
Duh.
Sorry.
So she has her conference, and I've been wanting to go, and they only have it every 2 years, and it sells out in like 4 minutes.
That's cool that you got. I want to hear about it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going. And
I do want to hear about that because I've seen it, of course.
Of course. But you've never been.
No. I think sometimes there's like a weird thing that happens about learning. For me in comedy, like I feel like I gotta find it on the streets as opposed to like seek it out.
Well, yeah. I'm going because I'm trying to write a book.
Good.
And I was like, let me go and be around other funny people.
Oh, that's smart.
So I'm actually going to the Funny Bone in Dayton. I have a show on that Wednesday. So that'll be the first time I do that one. You've played that one, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know if we want to get into the controversy of it.
Okay, we'll do that later. Martin Sheen is from Dayton.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
Yeah, we've got like Marion's Pizza is one of the like local hotspots, and they had this thing growing up where signatures would be under the glass, kind of like your table here. Mm-hmm. Signatures would be on the counter when you checked out, and they had like Rob Lowe, who grew up in that area, and Allison Janney.
Is your name under there?
No, why not? I'm at Ashley's Pastry Shop, not to brag.
Is your name there?
Yeah. A signed little photo.
Aww.
I think my nephew's embarrassed by it. Yeah. Ashley's Pastry Shop. Yeah, I used to go there on my lunch break. Yeah. And it's A-S-H-L-Y.
A-S-H-L-Y.
Get your E's right out of here.
All right. Okay. I love a good old Midwestern girl. What's like the most Midwestern thing about you, would you say?
Oh.
And is Ohio considered Midwestern?
Yeah, we're the heart of it all.
Are you? Because you feel like Mid-Eastern.
Yeah, I agree with you on that about the geographics.
I didn't know you were considered Midwest in Ohio.
We're like we've dubbed ourselves the heart of it all, Ohio, and I think it's because we're heart-ish shaped. But I agree with you. I mean, I've always felt that way when we were learning geography. It's like Midwest.
Yeah.
We're basically East.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the heart of the right.
I don't know what's to the left of you.
So we're the alt-right.
I don't know what that is. I'm 1974. I'm in Pittsburgh, PA. That's not far, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh April 5th and 6th at Bottle Rocket Social Club.
There you go. So check out BethStaling.com. See you there, find out where she's at. But she's hilarious. So you should watch her Netflix special. So let's go back. It's 2003. Yes. How old are you in 2003?
21. No. Sorry.
Is that high school, right?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So you were in high school.
Or something.
And somebody says, there's a debate club. And you were like, what is that? Or you're like, I'm all about it.
It started much sooner than then. I was, I started on the speech team freshman year doing a play by Nina Shingold called Lives of the Great Waitresses.
Okay.
That was my first piece.
Okay.
And in speech and humor category, or humorous interpretation is what it's called, you basically take a play and cut it down to 10 minutes and play all the characters. So that was my first piece. My second one, I think, was Smile by Jerry Belson. Then I did Anton and Show Business my junior year. I'm trying to think about what I won state with. Oh, Fame Takes a Holiday is the play that I won the Ohio. I was Ohio state champion in humorous interpretation in 2003.
And so is that, so you basically started doing other people's words first.
Yes,
that's how you
exactly.
start. Right.
And it was very male dominated. I was often the only female in the room besides Marcy Coomer, who is another Daytonian, and we've kept in touch. She came to my taping in Dayton. I filmed the special that's on Netflix now, if you didn't want me then, filmed it in Dayton, my hometown, at the Victoria Theater. She was there, but she was one of the only other women in speech. It was just, it was actually a great intro to stand-up, especially when I started, because now more people do stand-up. But then in Chicago when I started, it was still pretty male-dominated.
Yeah.
So it was a nice intro to know what that would feel like.
Somebody said, is that kind of like comedy training class in high school?
Yeah.
I think so.
I would say that.
Yeah. So, so Beth is in LA now, but you did a stint in Chicago. Tell us about that.
Started there. And I started there. I was there for 4 years and I did some improv as well at the Annoyance Theater. But mostly I just went to an open mic and that was the end of it. Then I got booked on a showcase and then more shows and more shows and more shows. And then I was just doing stand-up and working in a bagel shop and nannying a little boy named Ethan and Matthew, actually. Matthew texted me fairly recently.
And how old is Matthew
He was
now?
Like, I just found your number in my phone. I was, well that's not how that works. because you were a child and you definitely didn't have a cell phone. But it's okay that you got my number from your mom, and I'm glad that you're a stand-up comic.
I was going to say, how old is he now?
I don't even know. He's got to be like 17 or something.
That's funny. All right. So the special's called If You Didn't Want Me Then, which I love the line that you do about that.
Thank you.
And your stand-up. But how would you describe your stand-up? Because
I would say it's very personal and forthcoming in that way. And
Who would you like when you were starting? Because, you know, I feel like in general, for a long time, there weren't as many women doing stand up. Like, were there a lot of women in like Daytona, Chicago that you were able to work with? Or
I mean, so coming up, I do remember Jenna Friedman was very kind to me. Jenna has since got the last thing I think we kind of were next to each other on would have been Borat too. She was writing on that, and I did punch up for a second. She has a book out called Not Funny. And she, when I first came on the scene, she basically gave me a list of open mics and shows. And she was like, I'm headed to New York, but you're funny. And then she was like trying to be helpful to me. So she was on her way out. A lot of people were on their way out when I was starting, like kind of always has that exodus from Chicago to either New York or LA. And then Faye Canale was another really funny person who was on the scene. Faye Canale.
Oh.
The Putterboss sisters. I'm trying to think who else was on the scene that you might know now. Cameron Esposito. We were fewer and far between. And because of that, we would often be on like the separate shows across town. Like they would do kind of like one woman per show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there wasn't really competition in that way. Like I think a lot of people think it's sort of like, I mean, culturally or I guess societally and in the entertainment biz, it has always been sort of very one woman at a time type of thing.
Feeling.
So it creates a sort of,
but you have two women opening for you. Do you tend to do that? Do you tend to put women on your show or you mix it up? Yeah.
Yes. I usually try to have people different from me on the show and different voices and funny people. But yeah, Chanel Ali and Betty Smithsonian are opening. And
is that her real last name, Smithsonian?
I think.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
All right. So how many sisters do you have?
Two.
Are you middle?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Yeah.
And are you the funny one? Because I'm the middle of two sisters. Like, are you the funny one in the family?
Sorry, I was reading this person's.
I grew up in that one.
This one is what kills me. Because it's true. Anyway,
You're sorry.
I'm the youngest. Yeah, youngest of three girls. My oldest sisters are Megan and Hannah. And I do think that's a theme. You had mentioned, like, my mom and I had a podcast for two seasons where we called other comedians moms. And the theme of that podcast is often that the comedian is the youngest of the kids.
Really?
Yeah, what are you?
I'm the middle. I'm the quiet middle.
Yeah, that happens too.
But are you the funny one in your family? Because I'm not the funny one in my family. I'm the quiet one in my family.
And that's cool. That's cool about you. I mean, when I first started, I feel like I was like, people would give me, all dudes would give me a hard time saying like, I whisper my punchlines.
Uh-huh.
Like, cause I was never really like in your face or loud or
anything
like that.
Well, that's what she said. I love how it didn't seem like punchlines. It was more like a sequence of stories.
Yes.
I was going to say your stand-up is.
You got to listen.
You do have to listen. But to me, does anyone ever tell you you're like Jim Gaffigan?
That's a very high compliment.
I think that there's a lot, because I feel like you can listen to Jim Gaffigan and literally every line is a punchline. I feel like it's the same way with you.
Yeah, I try. So like, it's interesting. I say that, like, I don't know. I don't, whenever you tried to ask me to describe my comedy, that's always been tough for me. It took reviews and feedback for me to understand what I even was. I don't know. I wasn't pitching myself. So like, the early reviews of me in stand-up were like dark, subtle, deadpan. That was the early stuff for me in Chicago, as I was described. And I think over the years I've grown, I've been doing stand-up for 17 years, and I've grown closer to who I am as a person on stage, just comfortability-wise and just my personality. But yeah, I think I like that description. I am not like hit you over the head with punchlines. I'm more of a scavenger hunt, so best of luck to you all.
Well, I just think that like listening to you, you never see what you're about to say coming, which is why I think it's so funny. Like the thing that you talk about being in the tent.
Oh yeah.
Just,
that was real. Yeah.
Some of the stuff that you say, I'm just like, that is so freaking funny.
Thank you.
Because it's just, and then the thing about you and your sister finding the costumes, I'm telling you, you have to watch the special. It's so funny.
Thank you. And it's so subtle
and so funny.
Yeah, it's a calming experience even.
It is very calming.
Yeah. It's always funny when people like bring me out like, are you ready? You know, it's like, and then are you ready for a little affair? Get crazy, ladies.
So
I'm
funny.
Also, not just ladies. Anybody can enjoy my comedy. We actually had to look up my Instagram split, you know, like on who follows me.
Oh, like you're.
And it was
why
like.
Are you touching me? This is what my children do. They never actually just come out and talk. They just hover. What's up?
I'm headed out.
Where are you going? Oh, to the beach. Did you do your homework?
Nah, why would we do
well,
that?
Well, I don't. I mean.
What
I
day is it even? Friday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why aren't you in school?
They're on spring break.
Okay.
You haven't asked me if I've done my homework in like years.
Well, because you told me yesterday you had so much homework to do and you weren't sure if you were going to go today and you were having like a real adult mature moment. And now it's the next day and you're like, yeah, I'm done with that. I'm just going to go to the beach.
What happens on Monday? School?
Yes.
And what grade?
I'm a sophomore in college.
Oh, college.
Yeah, yeah. She looks young.
I never. Right. It felt homework felt
like
high school.
It did, but.
I never bought the books sometimes.
In college?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I buy the books and then they don't use them.
I know. So. What the heck? Don't buy the books. And I think that's the trick to college. Don't buy the books.
Don't do anything.
Don't go to college,
no,
actually.
We should. Okay. Think about it. Did you go to college at all?
I did.
Yeah.
I say that, but I went.
What did you study?
Delivery man. It's a delivery man. Maybe.
What did you study in college?
I was a theater major.
Of course you were.
Go figure.
Hey! The water main. It's big, big ruckus when the water
ring
main
says. There's a person at the door.
Yeah,
we actually knew that before the ring told us that there was a person at the door.
I did
because there's dogs.
All the dogs. Come on now.
Here, puppies.
So you go to college in Dayton?
I went to Miami University in Ohio.
Where?
It's a liberal arts school. They're known for their paper science. I think it's mentioned in The Office or something.
Paper science?
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. But
I don't know what it is either.
My first job was at Grater's Ice Cream in Dayton, Ohio. And, well, I mean.
Bagel shop.
Yeah, I was in the food biz.
Okay.
The service industry. Two tours at a bagel shop.
And a barista.
That was in Chicago. I managed Dollop Cafe. And then I worked at Intelligentsia Coffee in Los Angeles. Which was a very intense experience. That was like, speaking of going to school for stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a trade. I think they've been bought out now by Pete's. But when I was in Intelligentsia, I had to go through an 8-month training program.
Is that what you're saying?
Intelligentsia.
Is a coffee shop?
Yeah. And they have, again, things have changed over the years. But initially, they were very intense about coffee. I couldn't even touch milk for like 8 months. I was like doing dishes for a long time.
Anyway, you had to work your way up
to touching milk. And now I can do a latte art, rosettes.
Oh,
tulips.
Those things.
Yeah.
Oh. Beth, who is the most interesting person, celebrity you've met or worked with?
Most interesting in what way?
Mm.
I mean, I've worked with nightmare people who like the set has celebrated once they've left. But are we supposed to name those folks?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Most interesting person, right? That's so tough. Sorry, I'm just trying to think. One time I was really close to Jamie Foxx and it felt electric. That's probably the person I've been most struck, like starstruck.
I was going to say, have you ever met anybody and like you can't use words? Like you're just like
I've been a lot more overwhelmed
than you thought you would be.
Well, I will say being in LA, like I have learned to like tamp down my feelings. And speaking of tamp down, that's a barista term.
Oh.
Tamp down the espresso.
Okay.
The tamper.
All right. There
anyway,
goes.
I've learned to tamp down my feelings because I'm just like, remain calm, remain cool.
I won't be good.
You don't let yourself really feel anything. Even my first time on Conan, you're like, is this even real? Like I went to the a place called Eurostic for wings after I did Conan.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, really shy, like, uh-huh. I'm on Conan a little bit. Could you put it on the TV? And they're like, no. And I was like, you know, that was like my first year in LA, within my first year in LA.
Wow.
And so that was not a lesson, but it's like, yeah, everybody's trying to do that. Like,
wow.
So you just sort of, again, sometimes I feel like I have to use like a defibrillator to be like, you do cool things.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like I've been, it's not that I'm jaded. It's that I've learned to tamp everything down so I can function at my job. I guess Woody Harrelson is a funny little guy.
Oh,
I love him.
Yeah.
Not little. I like Woody. It's been fun to work with him.
Did you guys work on?
The Man from Toronto, Champions.
So a bunch of stuff. So he would know your name. He'd be like, oh, hey, Beth. Like that.
Yeah. He's a
sweet
guy.
Nice.
I met him through Sarah Silverman.
Oh, nice.
Who also is someone I've just grown to love and respect so much. Because even when I first started stand-up, I wasn't like a school or a student of stand-up. I didn't watch any because I was like terrified of stealing.
Yeah, me too.
So I've grown to love Sarah and the work she puts out in the last couple years. I think she's always looking to learn and grow and change. And also, she's a great actress.
That's awesome.
It's a good lesson to learn when you're on the road. Because sometimes I struggled with like being... I always want to be authentic and present.
Yeah.
And stand-up doesn't always lend itself to that. Because when you first start, you think like, oh, people are just up there being funny. And now I've been doing it for 17 years. And you learn very quickly that, oh, mm-hmm. no, like you're honing material or you're repeating yourself a lot. Mm-hmm. And in that way, you need to be careful what you're saying. Because if it's bad stuff about yourself, then your life will go down the tubes as well. But if it's like what you're choosing to talk about is being repeated. And that's like the power of repetition is very real. And because I yearn to be authentic, sometimes I'm like, you guys know this one. Not because I think I'm famous and you know my work, but because I'm like, oh, I've said this a bunch. And it's like, no, actually, they don't know who you are. You could probably tell the same act for like 10 years and people still wouldn't know who you are. But like, I'm just, it's a lesson in being present and making it seem like it's the first time you're ever saying something. Mm-hmm. And she does that really well.
Mm-hmm. I think you do that. I think all good comics do that.
Thanks. I like Champions too. I thought it turned out great.
That's awesome. All right. So it says you've been in a number of acting roles. Which one has been your favorite?
I loved playing Miss Fish. It was on the show Rutherford Falls, which was on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service. Mm-hmm. And of course, I wish it had just been on regular NBC. I mean, so does my mom. I think it's one of those things where she's like, why is this show on streaming and not on the regular thing? And I'm like, I agree. But it was like Indigenous women created it and filled the writer's room with mostly Indigenous folks, and it was centered around Jana Schmieding, who was also an Indigenous woman, and Ed Helms was opposite her as the other star.
Uh-huh.
And I play like a crazy teacher who's thirsty for Ed. It was just fun. And Ed Helms was like really funny and kind, and I enjoyed that role a lot.
That's nice. Now, what is the thing that your mom is the most impressed with? Because my mom gets real impressed by like the dumbest stuff. I'm like, this is not okay. She's like, now do we get as many donuts as we want when we're in that green room?
Right.
But, yeah. Sure,
yeah. Free food never gets old.
Yeah. So like, what is you think the thing that your mom is like, tells all her friends at church or like, oh my gosh, you never guess what Beth did.
I think she's really excited. Like she'll sometimes spill beans on stuff that's like not public. And not like it's a secret or something, but like, I don't know. If I'm developing a show or something that may never get seen by the public, like she's working with Elizabeth Banks right now, you know, and it's sort of like, I love you. It's not really public and nothing could come of it, but yeah.
But cool. Yeah. Tell everybody at church.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom's got everybody at church watching whatever we do.
I'm trying to think. She loved Miss Fish. She shared everything. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. And how about your sisters? Do they think you're funny?
Yeah. They came to the taping. They're very supportive. They're funny too.
Do they still live in Dayton with your mom?
Yeah, my whole family's in Dayton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Southwest Ohio.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. So I mentioned the other day that I had an article that came across that I wanted to read. So I thought we could read this article because the title just sounded so ridiculous to me that I thought that we could look at it. So here it is. Boom, boom. All right. So this one says bridesmaid criticized for lying to avoid spending money on destination wedding. So let's get into it. Weddings can be expensive. This is an, you know, the Am I the A-hole on Reddit? Do you know that?
Mm-mm. I don't know. Reddit confuses me, but continue, please.
So Am I the A-hole is a like a board where you could go on there and be like, okay, so I was out with my girlfriend and I might have punched her in the face. Yeah. Okay. So that's what this is, one of them. Okay. She explained that she and her childhood friend named Kayla were so close, she didn't even ask her to be a bridesmaid because it was assumed. However, because it was a destination wedding, the bridesmaid was concerned about the cost. Kayla's fiance is from the town in the north of Scandinavia where the wedding would be held, but the date was brought forward at the last minute, leaving only 4 months until the wedding date. Between the flights, the hotel, everything being booked in midsummer, spare rooms, final cost around $300 per night for 7 days of the wedding, the rental car, the bridesmaid's dress, the full traditional outfit to be worn, pet boarding, general incidentals, we're looking at a minimum of $8,000 per bridesmaid. For the last couple of years, the woman and her husband have been saving for a 3-week tour around Japan for their 10th anniversary, and they had just purchased their tickets when the wedding date was pushed forward. Kayla didn't know I'd booked the flight when she broke the news. You're so lucky. We've been saving all that money for our vacation anyway, the post continued. The bridesmaid pointed out that she was afraid to tell Kayla the truth that her wedding was too expensive, considering she got married at a destination wedding herself, but she wasn't able to do it. I fear she would question our friendship is not worth canceling our Japan. So basically, the question is, what would you think if somebody asked you to pay $8,000, even if it was your best friend?
Well, look, I was a stand-up comic when everybody was getting married. So I was like, I can't. I've got a show in this man's kitchen. You know? And so I actually missed all my friends' weddings because I was like, I'm not going to make it.
Good.
And they still love me.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
It depends on, look, 8,000 is insane for the age people normally get married in America.
Yes.
I don't know. Are you guys all in STEM? What are you up to?
I don't know.
How do you have 8,000?
Well, did you hear, when I got married and there was like a bachelorette, they're like, let's go to Atlantic City, which is an hour from here. And let's maybe take a limo down. And that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, we're going to the Bahamas. I'm like, this is the bachelorette party.
Right.
What are we doing?
It's a lot to ask of someone.
It's a lot.
I think, yeah, I do remember my mom accidentally sharing an article on Facebook when my sister was going through her second divorce, or maybe, I don't know, second or third or first, who cares? It was like, she accidentally shared an article that was like, reasons to take what you would spend on a money, take the money you'd spend on a wedding and invest it instead of a wedding or something like that, which is, she accidentally shared it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she was reading it and then pressed something or a finger slip. Mm-hmm. The point is, it's like, yeah, I mean, why? I don't know. If you don't have the money, don't have a wedding.
Yeah, people don't do
that. Save the money.
No, people don't do
that. And then put it for a down payment on a house or feed yourself for 7 years or whatever it is. But like, for sure, don't have a wedding.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money.
No, I don't think the kids do that. So when I got married, I was living in my parents' basement and I was like, I need a house and then we can plan a wedding. So we bought a house. It was a real bad house because that's all we could afford. And then our wedding was in the hall. It was in the cafegymatorium and it was across from the church. And then we walked across the parking lot. People were like, I had a horse and carriage. I'm like, I walked across the parking lot.
Yes.
And it was in the cafegymatorium and it was great, but I had a house to go home to. I was like, I don't want to have a big wedding and be like, I'm moving back in with my mom and dad.
Yeah. I had one of my favorite weddings was like at a cafegymatorium.
Yeah.
It was in Alabama and it's just like, all you need is a big space. And
yeah. You don't need
food.
My grandma used to talk about, they used to have football weddings. So my grandma was like depression era and they used to have these football weddings. And I was like, what's a football wedding? She goes, football wedding. And when you don't got a lot of monies and you get married, you come home and, you know, the reception, they didn't have these receptions. So a couple of days before the ladies get together, you make sandwiches. You got the ham, you got the meatballs, you wrap them up. Then when everybody comes to your house and they're all standing in the living room, then you stand on a chair, you go, what do you want? And they say, I want a turkey. And then you get a turkey sandwich and you throw it at them. And that's a football wedding.
I love that.
And I was like, I'm going to do a football wedding.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Yeah. I'm just like, why would I, if I'm getting married, feed you? And why do you need to watch it? You're going to see us out about. Let's go to dinner sometime.
Yeah, know, what if you just went to dinner one at a time? People are like, you can take me to, oh, wait, you're never going to guess the story. I'm not going to say names to protect the innocent, but okay. Somebody I know got married. Destination wedding, destination Vegas.
Yes.
Fine. They invite the family to Vegas. And they had gotten a room. So like Vegas will be like, here's a room, you know, and it was just a little ceremony. And then they had like cakes and cupcakes and stuff. Fine. So everybody, the ceremony, everybody gets a little dessert because we Italian. Then they say this. All right, everybody. So that is the end of our formal ceremony. We're going to go downstairs and we're going to eat at this restaurant. Now, if you want to go to the same restaurant and you have dinner there too, you can, but we're going to be there. And I was like, let me get this straight. So somebody asked you to fly to Vegas and go to this thing for your wedding. And all you giving them is a cupcake. And then you were like, well, we're not going to pay for your dinner. We're going to go to dinner at this restaurant. You could be at the table next to us. And then it would be like a part, but you would have like a separate check.
If you're lucky, you might get seated next to us and you could watch us eat. We'll watch you.
And I was like, no. I was like, no. The Italian in me would be like, no, I'm going to need to give you more. I'd be like, is this all we getting? Is this cupcake?
See, this is what I mean. Like,
I don't know.
Okay. I've never been married. So I'm just sort of like, I don't get any of it. And I'm surprised people are still getting married publicly when everybody has Instagram. Like, didn't you get your attention for that day? Like, post yourself in the dress once, get all your likes.
That's it.
Avoid the money and ceremony. Just get your little papers. And
listen, I was going down the street to the church and you gave me a cupcake, I'd be fine with that.
Right.
But like, if you gonna make me fly halfway across the world
just to watch you say, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They should have given you more of a show.
Something. Friend's daughter's getting married this summer, easily spending over $80,000.
Wait, 80 grand they're spending it? Not you.
Yeah.
Friend's daughter's getting married.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And expecting bridesmaids to destinations, bachelorette party, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you know all your friends are super rich.
I don't think anybody has.
I think the invite has to say, let us know if you can afford, and then the insert the number. And if not, no worries.
No.
I think the invite should say, are you looking to lose a lot of money this year?
That's basically
and in
what
exchange,
it is.
Watch me and my boyfriend kiss, which you can see on any given day.
I'm going to tell you something. So my sister, when she got married, you know, Italians with the envelope, right?
All the envelopes?
No, we got a money purse.
Oh.
And you married and you got a little money purse and then you go over and people go, congratulations. And you go like this.
And they put money in there?
And then they put the envelope in. So at the end of the night, you sit down and you're in your wedding dress and you start opening up and you start counting the monies up, right? Well, my sister, she came home and she wrote, you know, oh, this is from Beth.
Uh-huh.
Beth gave me $20. So she write Beth.
$20.
Now, she doesn't take into account inflation. But let's say 5 years later, Beth gets married.
Yes.
Guess what's going in Beth's envelope?
$20. An eye for an eye with the old sister.
She don't play. And I said, well, you know.
How does she know? Because if it's a big envelope, like what if I just threw a 20 in there?
No. It's you. You have your own envelope with like
a
card.
And I put my envelope in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And okay. You put it into the bag.
Sometimes I dated a guy who was a funny guy and he would be like, you have like a year to buy him a gift. He'd always show up to a wedding with nothing. And he'd be like, you got like a year to give him a gift.
Did he ever send anything?
I don't think so. I don't know. I had no money at the time. I think I tried to send something to them or I'd put a card for us from us in there.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them didn't even make it to the year.
Somebody said we had a book of names and how much. You can put $20. No, you can't. The average, if you go to a wedding, the average is, you know, you're supposed to cover your plate. So you're supposed to do like.
So by the way, you're not even getting everybody
200.
Dinner. You're basically asking them to show up and just secretly pay for their own meal at a wedding.
Yes. Basically, you're supposed to at least cover your plate.
You should be able, and I guess that's why they let you choose your meal, but they don't let you choose the quality of said meal.
No. Well, that's what my sister would also, she'd go to a wedding and I'd be like, well, how much are you going to put on the card? She's like, I want to see what they're serving first. I was like, what? She goes, if you're going to show up with like some crudite, oh, I got $20 for you. Are you going to show up with a steak? She had like this whole thing. It's like a big deal in New Jersey. I don't know if it's the same in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I missed a lot of those weddings, like I said.
Yeah.
And again, why put yourself, it seems like a big risk for not enough reward. Like, here, come to the wedding. It's going to cost us this much. Hopefully we make it back in donations.
Yeah, no.
What a weird investment. Mm-hmm. What do they get out of it? Again, just seeing you be like, and I love you, and I love you too. Which could be done online now. Or just you could hear about it.
You wonder, like, all the people during the pandemic, they were getting married on the Zoom.
Yeah, one of my sisters did get remarried during the pandemonium.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it back. Mm. And I didn't watch on Zoom either.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
What?
It still happened. They're still got married.
Uh-huh. They become shim shams. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine gives a check for a year after.
What's shim shams?
Shim sham. That means when somebody's trying to get over on you, it's called a shim sham.
Oh.
That's what we call it. Hello, watching from Manila, Philippines. When's the next time you're playing in the Philippines?
I don't have plans.
Sheldon, soon. Stay tuned to BethStelling.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I did a barbecue meat on buns and we had our reception at the church hall. Spent $5,000. Simple. No dance. No booze. Here is your barbecue sandwich. Thanks for coming.
$5,000 is still a lot. Mm-hmm. Probably good barbecue.
My parents had a book. A lot of people gave $5. Some gave $3 for their wedding. How long ago was that?
Wow.
I spent $2,000 on a wedding, catered by and served our guests ourselves. Friends bartended, another DJed, another friend did photography. Our friends helped us clean up the school gym after the reception. Texas Yankee hoedown. Comfy jeans. Paid $27 for my dress at Fashion Bug. I love it.
Imaginations by Wendy. She's got it on lock.
Yeah. Yeah. If they are still married, they can cash it. Hence the debt is made for 1 year after the date. You mean like if they're, what if they're still together, you mean?
Oh, yeah. If they're still married, they can cash the check.
Oh.
Hence the date is made. Oh, for a year after the wedding. So you post-date your check.
Wow. So if you're still together, that's your prize?
You got to make it a year before you're allowed to see my $20.
That's crazy.
If you guys make it a year, two coffees on me.
Yep. That's crazy.
Okay. People say the money is supposed to be a gift, not pay for the wedding.
I don't know, Allison. Because it used to be you could go to a wedding and be $100 in the envelope. But then like time went by and I was like, isn't it 100? My girlfriend's like, you can't put 100 in there.
Why?
Because it's too low. They're like, no, no.
100 is a lot of money.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Now you got to bump it up.
But all I have to say, the solution here is definitely don't get married.
There's that. Is that your plan? Never marry?
If I get married to the guy I'm seeing who I love very much and we're like, oh, it would be good to make this official. I don't know. What are the benefits?
Healthcare.
I have it.
Okay.
So what are the benefits to getting married? I'm confused.
Well, some people will like you only
is
have,
there a tax
you're under
situation?
One. Are you under one house now, under one roof?
He's got a house and I've got a place.
So that would be a benefit that you wouldn't have two mortgages or, you know, there's that.
Sure.
So you would
pitch me some other
stuff.
Do
that. Well, I just got divorced. I don't know if I'm the best person to ask.
Well, I mean, I knew that.
There was some good years. Yeah, there's baby raising and everybody got the same name, kind of.
Sure.
If you decided. Well, you don't say best selling. You're not going to change that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. Well,
I feel like if the government's involved, isn't it? It's inevitably nefarious, but... I guess if I'm getting married and there's some sort of benefit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not sure what those are.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of divorce people here. Like, don't ask us. Somebody said the ring. Been there, done that. I'm good.
The ring. Yeah. I don't wear jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you have kids, it might be nice to start together in one
tax
place.
Tax benefits. Somebody says, okay, tax benefits. Oh, see each other in the
hospital and emergencies.
That's for the worst part when they say for better or for worse.
That's the worst part.
So you basically sign up to be someone's emergency contact officially.
It is weird. Like when I got...
Oh, collect each other's social security. Somebody keep an eye on Fiona.
she's about to kill someone.
Or get smooshed out.
Yeah, social security. Pensions.
Okay, so there's
somebody had like a pension.
What if he has like debt or something or...
What if he has what?
Debt?
debt. Oh, no, then what that's bad.
He doesn't have good things going on tied to his name. I've got great credit.
Yeah.
No. I can't be dealing with this. But anyway, okay, so say I choose to do that. The point is, I love him so much. We would get some cute photos. I'd do a dress. Mm-hmm. I would do it, I don't know, in his backyard.
Wait, Alejandra said we had a money dance. Is that we just walk around dancing and people give me money? Alejandra, just explain this.
Yeah.
This might be handy.
Yeah.
If she ever gets married. Just no wedding, just a money dance.
Dance for your cash. Do a little strip tease for the money. Okay, so.
She said, I spent too much money on my wedding day way back then. I was a different person then. I get rid of the dress, got rid of the husband, got rid of the ring. I'm a different person now. Would never spend a lot on a wedding now.
You're right. Yeah. So you change over time. And I think times have changed as well. But again, if you're looking for attention, you could open an Instagram account. You could post photos of yourself in a pretty dress and then get that sort of same rush that you might get. Get yourself some professional photos if you need that attention. And then if you're looking for the lifetime commitment, that can actually be, surprise, done in private. So I think we could get married in his backyard.
I think we have the new special called Don't Get Married. Don't Get Married.
Again, I'm not trying to be all like anti, and I think you're an idiot if you got married. But if you're living in debt,
well, what if
because
he,
of
what
your
if
wedding,
you weren't?
What would the plus be?
What if you weren't?
Yeah, if
what
you
if
have you money weren't? To wipe your butt with, have everybody fly everybody to the Fiji. Have a wedding.
I said, inquiring minds are asking about Beth's skincare routine.
Oh, I use Trina Renee, R-E-N-E-A. It's online. I use like her skin smoothie. It's like a tinted SPF. And I also use a little Biba D'Souza. Which
I don't
is
know
like,
any of the words you're saying.
They're like LA.
They're fancy.
Facialist.
They're fancy facial things.
Trina Renee has a podcast about skin too.
Yeah.
And I use a little zapper.
What's a zapper?
Like, it's like a, it has a glass filled with gas. And you go zap, zap. It's like a bug zapper for your face.
What do you do with it?
You zap zits and stuff.
Like all
and
over?
It's like a little, you can have different tips and things to it. I'm trying to remember the brand for you.
Look at this.
Illumination.
It's getting
something.
So dark. This is an H spot. You'll get one eventually.
I have one right here. Just
you don't. You don't. Where?
Right there. You can see where it's
oh, a little. That's a little.
Well, it's got covered on it.
Oh, yeah, me too. Not enough on
And then I just tried some Make, M-A-K-E makeup lately. That's been kind of nice.
M-A-K-E.
Hmm. Yeah, like a little bit of
Is there an age spot zapper? I don't think so.
Well, technically, yes.
Is it like a bleach?
Well, there is that from Kiehl's, the spot, dark spot treatment. You can get that from Kiehl's. But yeah, the zapper, I wish I could remember. I'm sure you could look it up, but I plug it into the wall and it's like a long tube. People have mistaken it for. But then you plug in a glass tube and it's like neon or NE and maybe something else. And yeah, it lights up and you go zap, 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 zap. And it sounds like a bug zapper. Kind of run it over your face. There's a mushroom tip. Huh. And I don't do this as regularly as I should, like anything in my life. And also I have, I did just get one of those really, because I don't, again, I'm not married and I don't have kids. I got one of those, I think it's, remember the Theragun? Like one of those
like
things.
A massager?
Yeah. Well, they came out with a red, like infrared mask.
Oh, I did
and
see
blue
that.
Light. I got that. So it's the Thera mask and you look like Tron.
But what does it do? Like when
I'm scared
it's done,
my boyfriend
are you like what, like say
when
I did it
done,
to my face, how
it's
would I
like,
feel?
Especially blue light is good for me because I have acne. So it really lowers the, it calms the acne and it's anti-aging. So I don't know really what that's doing, but I plan to age naturally. So it can't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Michelle said, is this it? The high frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said yes, Michelle.
I can't see the exact, like, I'm sure there's different versions of it, but what you've shared, so I don't have the stacked one, but that is what you're looking for in that realm of zapper.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I forget the name of it.
I have an age spot that sort of looks like a teardrop from far. People just say, you seem so nice to have been in prison.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't play
back it
me.
Up. Yeah. She said, how old are you, Beth? You are so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. 30 something.
Looks good. Listen, one day that's going to start with a 5.
Yeah.
And that'll be dramatic.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things too, where I'm like, I think the only time, like, it's, I plan to age naturally, and I'm actually just prepared for, like, I already experienced what it looks like to see myself differently in the mirror. And I know it's going to get harder because, you know, we live in a very, in a world that is.
See this? So I don't want you, I'm growing my gray. Yeah. You can't tell. So I just did this silver, this blonde thing to kind of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
fine. But yeah, that's happening.
I know. And again, like in the, I have some little here's and there's.
I'll see it.
Just, I mean, I'm not too worried about it, but my hair is sort of always been very fine, but I started doing some drops in there to like hair thickening drops, and they have gray ones too.
Really?
Vegamore.
You just rub it in?
Yeah, Vegamore. It's like drop, 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 and then you kind of rub it into your head. Oh. They have grays ones, and then mine is for the hair growing.
Oh.
Somebody asked if I'm a redhead, and the truth is like whenever I'm on camera or stuff, like,
yeah.
When I'm getting trolled by men, they'll call me like Carrot Top.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm sort of like, and also because I have a very expressive face, so I think they're trying to be mean, and I'm like, I don't really care what you think of me, but answer is I don't consider myself a redhead, not as a bad thing, but like, would you say I'm a redhead?
No.
It's just under the lights, I look kind of like a redhead.
No, I don't think so, but I could see that, because there it looks redder than it is in
person. So I guess on camera, sometimes, yes, it looks red, but this is my natural hair color, and I don't dye it.
You don't? Does your mom have gray?
She does. And she dyes it. She gets some highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to think about that for a second.
I was going to say, it's my dad, his whole family is like white, and my mom, not really. So I'm my dad right here, and then the back of my head is my mom. That's real weird.
Oh, somebody said, I thought I was going to age naturally, and then 2020 did a number on me, basically. And I agree with you. Like, 2020 did a number on me because I dated a guy for 2 years who was cheating on me, and I feel like I have so many more wrinkles from him and me being like, what'd you just say to me? You know, so I'm just sort of like, that man aged me. And I'd love to like just blame him, but you know, whatever. I have I participate in a bad relationship.
So how long have you been dating this fellow that you're dating?
We met last July.
Aww.
At a July 4th party in the wild.
Aww. Did he know you were a comedian?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's a cute pie.
He's so sweet.
Oh, look at him.
We have to go soon.
We do have to go soon. So listen, everybody, we want to thank Beth for being here. And she is going to be in your town soon. Make sure you check out her schedule at bethstelling.com. Follow her as well. Make sure you go and check out the Netflix special. It's hilarious. Yeah, all the good things that she's doing. And thanks for coming today.
Yeah,
this was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast and great to meet everybody. And thank you for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday morning. Oh, no, I don't know if I'll be back here because I have maybe a surgery for the kidney stone. So if I'm here in the morning, then I'll do my surgery. And then whatever, you'll find out.
Send
lemonade and good vibes. So thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks to Jacqueline and Brooke for going and getting our breakfast this morning.
Yes,
and
thank you
sexy
so much.
Producer Michelle for putting all of this together as always. Hopefully you enjoyed today. We do have Voila on Sunday. We are making fried pickles and air fried churros. Do you have an air fryer?
No, but I'll think about it.
It is the most amazing thing. So if you'd like to become a supporter, you'll see Voila on Sunday at 1 o'clock. We're just going to be air frying a whole bunch of stuff. So if you want to join us, get yourself an air fryer. I put my air fryer on my Amazon list. I did a lot of, I research everything to exhaustion, and I love my air fryer. So what are air fried churros? You know what churros are, right? Remember, you might be too young, but they used to sell them at Kmart. I guess they're a Spanish dessert, but to me, they're like from Kmart. But you can make them in your air fryer. So we're going to learn how to do that on Sunday. But thanks for watching, everybody. Like Judy from Saskatoon says, I hope you do something nice for yourself or others today. And thanks for watching. As always, have a great day and a blessed day. And we'll see you guys soon. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, if you enjoyed today's morning show, make sure to follow us for more One Funny Mother content.
Okay, all right. Morse code is tapping.
And check out onefunnymotherstore.com for great, new, inappropriate swag. And for more exclusive content, consider becoming a supporter.
She got a bad leg.
Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow on One Funny Morning.